Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kim Holderness.
I'm also, I am Penn Holderness. I'm also a Holderness.
Wow.
I am really nailing
this. You're nailing this. Welcome to our podcast. It is our very favorite thing, even if we don't know our names.
We don't have to dress up. We can sit back in a comfortable chair or a chair that looks comfortable and isn't as comfortable.
These really are not as comfortable as they look. We bought some new chairs. They are not as comfortable as they look. But today we have a very special guest who I'm going to introduce in a second. But first, I'm going to do the awkward, weird thing and ask you to pre-order our book.
Yeah, why not? I mean, why not? Honestly, you like what's better than ordering a book that you won't get until later?
I know. So it's like a delayed gratification.
Here's,
so I
here's
would
the
like
thing.
You
it's getting
to...
closer, though. It's yes. getting close enough that if you pre-order it now, you won't get irritated.
Right. So you're going to go to everybodyfightsbook.com. You're going to go to wherever you buy your books and you're going to pre-order it. And here's why it's such an awkward ask. I had no idea that this was a thing. By the way, that panting you hear, it's not me. It's my dog. She's really close to the microphone.
You wanted to keep her up here.
I sure did. So it helps. It helps. Okay, stop. It helps other people find our book when a lot of people pre-order it. So if you're going to buy it, now is a cool time to do that.
It just helps us out in this weird, kind of like if you know people who do YouTube or Facebook, there's like this algorithm that you get into. And you can game the algorithm.
It's not gaming.
We're not trying to cheat. We're just saying if you pre-order it, it's going to show up on the New York Times bestseller list more likely than if you like looked at it and a week later ordered it. Because right. they count all those things like at once.
Okay. So everybodyfightsbook.com.
Yeah.
I will also say that, you know what people, you know what I heard?
What?
What people do? They buy like 1,000 of their own books.
And they return them?
I don't know if they return them, but I heard they like buy them. We haven't done that.
No.
I did order like 4 of them.
That's
so that
lot.
Like my kids could have one and I could have one, just one.
Hey, also, can you pre-order the Audible as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys, if you're not readers like me and you like listening to stuff on your headphones, I think our Audible's version is pretty darn good.
It is.
I think it's fun.
To listen
it's a
to.
Lot like this, but way more organized.
Way more organized.
And yeah.
I think we should stop talking about it.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But vis-a-vis the person we wrote the book with.
I know. So,
Dr. Christopher Edmonston is here.
He's back.
I'm back.
He is a crucial part of our book. He is our marriage coach.
Yeah.
He is like, imagine like he has like a whistle around his neck and just teaching us all the goodness. Yeah. And all of the good advice in this book came directly from Dr. Christopher Edmonston.
And I need to add, everyone loves him, including Sunny, who is now on his crotch.
The minute you said my name, she literally had nothing to do with me at all. And now she is climbing there. Into my face.
She's up in there.
Christopher's our vaccinated friend who is sitting like 20 feet away from us in our attic, and now our dog is on his lap.
She senses the vaccine.
She senses something.
She senses magical antibodies.
Before we get started, I want to thank Christopher for all that he did for us, for not only for the book, but also for our marriage in general. He is the reason why we're doing this. I'm trying to be serious and heartfelt, and Sonny is basically giving our pastor a lap dance right now.
That was one of the most amazing dog experiences of my life. That's all I will say.
You transformed my marriage. Here, take a dog butt to the face. Well, I think the important thing Christopher taught us was how fighting can actually lead to greater connection within a relationship. It's not always a bad thing. It's not always about who wins.
No, you learn about each other's vulnerabilities in a good way, like where you need help. You learn about what people really care about, what's important to them. And you learn about things that like you could work on. That's another thing. Like you learn, oh, I could get better at this.
So, Christopher, why we have received some comments, because the title of the book is Everybody Fights, so why not get better at it? That we've received some comments like, hey, love your videos, but we don't fight. What is your reaction when you hear a couple say, I've been married for 35 years, or I've been married this long and we've never had one single fight? What's your reaction?
There's two reactions that I have. One is sort of the, and you guys know I'm a little bit of a word nerd.
Yeah.
A word nerd. I love words and I love meanings of words. And I would want to know what they meant by fight.
Right.
Because I don't think anyone can be married for 35 years with no conflict or no moments where they butted heads or had a disagreement about dinner. I mean, it may be they don't throw plates or do any of the overly dramatic, melodramatic stuff we see on TV or on reality television. But they have conflict because everyone does.
Yeah.
And people who say they have no conflict in their lives with their families, their siblings, their spouses, their children, they're doing what we call in the book the 3 D's, denial, distraction, or delay. They're really not telling the truth. We can't take two people with free wills, strong minds, loves, passions, and say share a life, share a home, share a family, and think that they're never going to have a disagreement over how to do that. So everybody does fight. Now, fight may mean something really different in my house than yours, but I would say to people that say, well, we don't fight, it's been 35 years, I'd want to know what they meant by fight, and two, I would be a little skeptical of that.
Is stonewalling at play as well with that?
It can be. Stonewalling is more, I'm just not going to go there, so I refuse to engage, so it may be that one person in those partnerships where they don't have frequent conflict is so good at stonewalling and has sent so much nonverbal information over the years that the other person just doesn't even try anymore to ask for what they want or to have things change in their relationship.
Because the fights that you don't have are often, I think, the biggest issues, those ones you're walking away from.
Almost always. And it's more art than science. Sometimes it's not the right time to bring it up. But to never bring it up, that can be the thing that ends up burning your house down. Like one example that I give in premarital counseling, I don't know if I ever gave this one with the two of you, but it's sort of like the couple who, and this is back to the fights that we don't have, the couple has a long day at work, long day at work in their individual jobs, or in your case, a long day at work together. We'll use Kim and Penn this time. We'll be really creative. Kim decides to go take a bath, lights a candle. The candle falls over, catches a towel on fire. Penn runs into the bathroom and says, oh my gosh, we've got to do something right now. And you run to the phone, you call the plumber because the downstairs toilet doesn't ever stop running. And what's happening is you're fixing something that's small, that seems manageable, but the fire that's going to kill you, the fight that you never have, you just keep putting it off. You deny it's still there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, people can literally look at the biggest problem in their lives and deny it, distract themselves from it, or delay getting around to it. And so you're exactly right. Sometimes the fights we don't have tell us the most. Yeah.
We talk about meta communication in this, and it was a term that at first you used with us, and we're like, yeah, sure, we know what that means, and we really didn't know what it meant. But it's taking that zoomed out view of how you are communicating with each other and how you're fighting, and that was really eye opening to us. Can you explain for the listeners at home what is meta communication? And we talk a lot about it in our book, by the way. But a helpful recap.
A good recap would be, if meta doesn't sort of sing for you as a listener, what does next level communication look like? Like, how do we make our communication not just the day to day, what do we want for groceries, what do we want for dinner, but communication where it's actually a formative process in our relationships? And we focused in on fights for the book, but you can really meta communicate about anything. You can have a great date night, you know, post-COVID, when people are vaccinated and we're back out again, and talk about what went well on the date night. What right. did you like? What didn't you like? In other words, we're going next level so that we can learn how to enhance our romantic life in that case, so that I can repeat behaviors that my person liked and I can avoid the ones that she didn't like.
Yeah.
So I don't keep making the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah, I remember vividly during our chapter about sex, and Kim is walking away from the... Oh, because Sonny got into the attic. Okay. I remember during that chapter about sex, we were getting into the magic words, and we'll talk a little bit about magic words. It's kind of the backbone of the book. It's this script, and it's these words that Christopher's taught us to say that get us from a good marriage to a great marriage. And some of the magic words that you had in the sex chapter were, I love how you... I love that you and got specific with those sorts of things. So I'm thinking about a date. I'm thinking about anytime something goes right. Instead of saying that was fun, if you say, man, I absolutely love how you grab my hand and kiss me in the cheek as we're walking out of the restaurant.
I mean, it's back to the tell me more. Like, what was your favorite part? Well, I liked it when we had champagne. Why did you like that? What we're trying to do is, whether it's a romantic behavior or date night behavior, is get to that next level, that meta level of communicating, so that we are making our communication more efficient when it comes to a fight. So I know one of the things that Kim and I have talked about recently is someone says, well, if you just get back into the same fight, then meta communication doesn't
like
work.
So if you're zooming out and be like, you know, you were really rude to me.
Right.
And then you get in there like, well, you did this. So we've been doing a lot of podcasts and interviews to promote the book, which has been great fun. And someone, Heather Dubrow, actually asked us a great question. She said, when I'm talking about how we're fighting, how do you not just get into that same fight over and over again?
You would have to look at a couple and right. coach them individually to answer that for everyone. But generally speaking, if you're right back into the same fight, you didn't really resolve it in the first place. And so it's probably not time to go next level with it.
So there's a time for it, for sure.
Absolutely. In the heat of the moment, we're not resolved. I'm not sure how I feel about the decision that we came to. That's not the time to learn from the process that you went through to reach the decision, so that your conflict the next time can be not only more efficient, but I'm going to use the word healthier. Just like there's healthy conflict and unhealthy conflict with your kids or your coworkers, there's healthy conflict, there's unhealthy conflict with your partner, with your person, your spouse. And so if it's hot and heavy and you haven't resolved the fight, you're not going to be able to get to that next level, that level of meta communication, so that your next conflicts don't go down the same paths.
I would say, like we discovered even having those conversations, I can't be really engaged and listen to you and have a good, healthy conflict. If you start this at 10 o'clock at night, because I wake up so early, 10 o'clock, I'm toast. I'm done talking. I'm just not. So we don't even start the engagement. Your wife is a teacher. So like May, you're not going to be bringing up stuff in May.
Friday nights in May are not the time to have big conversations with my wife, because teachers are bone tired by Friday night. And by the month of May, I mean, May is the worst month to be a mom, I think.
Yeah.
When you're a mom who's a teacher, it's like she's so tired every May. It's not the right time to bring up big conflict,
right.
or big decisions. That's exactly right.
I want to ask just a little bit about, and obviously you're not going to be specific about this, but I want to kind of take general inventory of what sort of counseling you've been giving out and what kind of input you've been receiving from couples lately. It's been interesting because we've talked to a lot of people during this virtual book tour. We've been on a bunch of podcasts and interviews. We've been talking just about this book. Some of them have said, I think expectedly, and we hear this all the time, man, we had no idea how much stuff we had to work on until we had to sit, live together with the same office and the same problems all together under the same roof. We couldn't avoid it for a whole year. And we've heard a lot of that. We've also heard people say that they've gotten closer with their spouse because a lot of those things that they have been avoiding, they've actually been forced to talk about. And it wasn't like a pretty growing pain, but they've gotten to it and they've gotten closer together.
I do think that the last 12 months, because it is 12 months. I looked at my calendar for last year for this week of March, and this is when I shut down everything in my office when my kids came home from school.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the 1 year week.
Yeah.
Like right now.
This is it. Actually, isn't tomorrow the anniversary
of when? It's the 13th, I thought.
There was that day that the NBA shut down.
Well,
it all happened.
It's like the 10th or the 9th. It's today or yesterday. Because
yeah,
when the NBA shut down, that's when everybody realized this is serious.
Right. Yeah.
And then the ACC tournament and all the basketball tournaments stopped.
But within 24 hours.
Really fast. So yeah. It's this week. It's all this week. So it's been a year. And one thing I think is that every couple, no matter how in love they were or close they were, how healthy they were when this started, because our lives are normally set up to spend some time alone or with our people. Like you write a lot in the book about your tennis friends, Penn.
Yeah.
With your tennis friends. My girlfriends. I'm used to my girls' trips once a month or once a year or twice a year, whatever. And all that came to a screeching halt. And so it affected every couple. I would say that it affected some couples more than others, and it affected every couple differently. Mm-hmm. Some had exposed their raw places really quickly, and others, it allowed them to play to their strengths. And it's hard to know how that fell out with everyone because most of the couples that I've worked with in the past, I haven't seen them in a year. I will share something I shared with Kim a few weeks ago where I had more new couples call me this year asking for referrals to marriage counselors or if they could meet with me than ever before in 21 years of being a pastor, doing marriage coaching, premarital counseling, ever.
I don't know why I said, I'm not surprised.
No, that's,
I'm not surprised.
The surprising part is when you hear someone say, we've gotten closer together.
I know.
And it's nice to hear.
It's great to hear. I think that we were set up for this because we had done the work that continues PS on our marriage. And we were already living together and working together. And we were kind of already set up for it. But it does go to show like the people going through this pandemic and the stress of that, like can't be duplicated, but just that is when people have asked, like, when did your marriage like hit its first rough patch? Cause I think all relationships do. Right. And it's when we started, it was like the pressure of working together and all of those things because
which was a simulated COVID.
It was a simulated COVID
kind of like, because we were did a long time
without
ago.
The trauma of a pandemic.
Right.
But it was that kind of forced together time. But we've, obviously created some great boundaries. Well,
it's like the old, adage about how, the dog that chases the car every day. Well, what happens when the dog actually catches the car? And, couples will say, I wish we spent more time together. In your previous life, Penn was,
he's gone all the time.
A lot of your listeners are on this. He was gone all the time. Like he was on the news.
Oh, the local
all the time.
News days.
Like if I wanted to see Penn, I had to meet him for like lunch and then he had to leave always to go back and film something. Like he was
particularly
busy,
when I was moonlighting between working at local news and also being Kim's editor.
That was crazy. Yeah. Those days were nuts for you, but and so it would be so great to work together. Well, you guys were the dog that caught the car.
Yeah.
Now suddenly I've got to live into that. And so you have couples. I wish we had more family time. I wish we had this. And, mom's traveling for work or dad's traveling for work. And suddenly we're all in the same house. I mean, find me a couple that was used to having time apart during work hours with kids who they were used to having in school somewhere. And it was like they caught the car, or the car caught them with the pandemic, and suddenly, who are you? Who have I married? Right. How do we fix this?
Yeah.
There's so many friends that, like, either the husband or the wife was, like, traveling, Monday through Friday, and all of a sudden they've been home for a year.
A year.
And my girlfriends, I have one girlfriend in particular who she's like, get him, take him. Can you use him in a shoot or something? Can you put him to work in a way?
And I'm like, can he come over to your house and play?
Sorry. No, and it is a real, it's so, and as an introvert, well, like the pandemic has hit us differently, right?
Absolutely. And I'm an extrovert. There aren't many people more extrovert in the world than me. Penn actually is. But it's been a really hard year for me.
I was going to ask you about
that. And I was thinking,
that.
I haven't been in this room in a year.
I've been meaning to ask you about that.
I haven't been in your house in a year, basically. I've been in the backyard with the kids a couple times.
Yeah.
We've had some outside time together, which I cherish because you're not just my counselor, my pastor, you're my friend. But I've been meaning to ask you about that because, I mean, does anyone ever ask the pastor how they're doing?
How are you doing?
It's kind of, I mean, you get so much energy from other people. And so I imagine there had to be some rush or some level of adrenaline that you get when you deliver a live sermon and there's 1,000 people in the church.
It's real different when there's 20 there.
Right.
Or two.
Yeah.
Or zero. Yeah. A lot of people do ask me how I'm doing, which I'm very fortunate. I'm surrounded by a lot of people that love me and my family, including the two of you. And I'm grateful for that. In fact, you're one of the people that's asked me how I'm doing, which is wonderful. So enough people have asked me how I'm doing that I don't feel like I've been isolated or completely alone. But, you know, I haven't stretched my extroverted muscles in a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been very unusual.
We need to go to Vegas.
Alone time. Vegas?
Yeah, we need to go to Vegas.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm taking my pastor to Vegas.
Vegas.
No.
You can do things. You can go to, like, buffets, and there's, like, things you can do in Vegas.
Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
I mean, Cirque du Soleil's nice. I've never seen it, but I've
totally
seen it
on YouTube. Catch a Cirque show with you. That'd be awesome.
I would say, as an introvert, it was even hard because there was people around all the time.
All the time.
And I didn't have a space of my, and we actually were going to do some, like, not renovations, but I'm going to do some reconfiguring in my home because I've discovered that everybody has their own space. So we're up here right now, and this is like a finished attic space. I'll describe it. And it's a really big, huge finished attic space.
Pretty much looks like it's been set up for Penn, though, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm only up here to do exactly this. So I'm up here for like 1 hour every 2 weeks. The kids have their own rooms, obviously. I share a bedroom with my husband. Love you. But I don't have like a...
That was sincere.
A space to close. Like my desk is where PC plays video games or the kids chill out. So like after, if it's like, I don't have a place to close the door. So the dining room, we never use the dining room. Just donated the table and chairs. And I have my Peloton in there now. And I'm going to put doors on it. And it's going to make it harder, our house harder to sell when it's time to sell. But I don't care.
Can't you just take them out when it's time to sell?
Sure. Okay. And that's just going to be my office, and I'm going to close the door.
Are we going French glass doors?
I don't know.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay. I just wanted to close the doors.
Can we do one of those fancy, really heavy barn looking things?
No, we cannot, honey, because we have like a bathroom there and another door there. So we're sorry.
No, the sliding barn
door. Yeah, so you want to close off the bathroom?
Yeah, with respect, Ben, she's thought about this more than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I have like a Pinterest board for it, so okay. I'm going to say no to that. Okay.
Yeah, so how like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much input would you like from me on
like
this?
Oh, like if there was like a negative 2.
Okay, that's it. Like, I got you.
I'm seeing that she already has a vision for this project, Ben.
No, she does.
Yes. Anyway, so it was hard for extroverts. It was really hard for introverts. And within a marriage, it became... that became a stress point for us as we were writing the last 3 chapters of this book. The irony was not lost on me that we were writing a book about how to fight better while we were like working through the bumps of being married in a pandemic. But we did it.
Yes, we did it. And I got to tell you, I wrote the book, and you helped me write the book, Christopher, and our editor Becky helped us write the book. We all wrote it together. I read it as a final manuscript almost a year ago. I mean, it was a long time ago, wasn't it? It was like 10 or 11. It was May was when we delivered the manuscript. Mm-hmm. It was almost a year ago. And I've read it since about 4 more times. And I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Like the words mean something different to me after a while. It's kind of like learning how to ride a bike. And I think you keep the stuff with you. But I, for example, the chapter on listening. I don't know if I fully grasped that chapter while we were writing it. And now I think I'm getting better at it. So I'm thanking you for all of the input that you gave me. Like, but it's happening over time. It didn't happen like instantly as I wrote the book, or not even the first time I read it.
No. Well, that's back to what is marriage? What is conflict? What is conflict resolution? I mean, it's more art than science. Like if I could tell every couple how to resolve every conflict through this 3 easy step process, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be a pastor in Raleigh, or working with couples one-on-one. I'd be the most famous guy in the world.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't work that way. So there are principles, there are practices, which I think we try to dig down to in the book. There are questions that can lead to better communication, which I think we've done a good job of the book trying to give people.
Mm-hmm.
The words, sometimes even really specifically, to try to help people practice the art of communication and conflict resolution in their own partnerships, in their own homes. Because who wants to keep having the same fight week after week, year after year? Every couple, my wife and I, we've talked about her before. We've been married 25 and a half years, and we're much better at conflict and conflict resolution now than we were when we were 24. We got married really young. But we still have conflict. Thankfully, it's not the same as when we were 24.
Right.
Because we resolved them. We practiced. We got better. And over time, we no longer hurt each other as badly as we once did when conflict came up. Because we didn't like that. How did we discover that? Because she said, you know what I don't like about when we fight? I don't like about how you say things that hurt my feelings really badly when what you said had nothing to do with what we were arguing about.
And that's one of our rules of engagement. And it's like we and everybody has their own rules, but one of them is like, you know how to cut your partner. You know how to, you know how to hurt your partner in that very unique way. Just don't do it. Like I know, like, and he knows where to hit me. So
I feel like sometimes that's even subconscious. Like you don't even know that you know how to hurt your partner, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. Hey, also, I want to mention something else. When we did the Audible, there were a couple of chapters that reading, it felt like a little weird saying them out loud. Like the sex one.
That one was
interesting to listen to because...
Oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. But there's like a chapter and a half on the sexy time stuff,
that's right. Well, what's interesting about that was I don't think I appear in that chapter hardly at all, which is completely appropriate, I think.
Thank you, in all
honesty. I do. One of the rules is you have to learn to ask for what you want.
Right.
In all things in a marriage, whether that's dinner or, cuddle time, you have to learn how to do it. And that's how you guys launch into that chapter.
Yes.
And then I don't appear again, for which I am fantastically grateful.
So funny story about that. When you guys get to that chapter, so there's a chapter and a half on the sexy time. when we were writing this, as it, by the way, writing a book with, and there's three people in this room, so it becomes a big group project, right? So there's a lot of cut and paste of like, no, it should go here, it should go here. So like we had those chapters were towards the front and then we moved them here. So I gave my mom, who's like a proofreader and like an editor, like a freelance editor, and she offered to read it and proofread it, like grammar stuff. And I was like, just please, for the love of God, don't read these two chapters. And I gave her the wrong chapter numbers.
She totally read them.
And, by accident. And she's like, you told me the wrong chapters. And so you're welcome,
so
mother,
now you guys know each other better.
About exactly how to ask for what you want in the bedroom.
But so saying it out loud, I equate it to this. If I had a diary, I would feel comfortable writing into it. Even if I knew that the whole world was going to get it, they didn't have to hear me say it. Like, I could write the diary, send it out into the world, and then they could get it and they could say it or whatever. But just recording it and saying it out loud in a studio with Cameron, who is our audio tech, like in the other room, who's clearly like in his 20s and looking at us like, what's going on here? That was interesting, right?
Interesting. It was. I was like, I regret writing this because now I have to say it out loud. And now people are going to hear me talking about our bedroom time. Yeah. So, yeah. So good times. Good times.
Well, but I think, and I do mean this, you know, and this is one of the things that I shared that didn't end up making the final cut, right? But there's a reason why, and I'm going to say this like a pastor, God made our skin as our largest organ. Like, there's something about human touch, and like the stats, if you read the psychological studies on human beings that aren't touched enough as babies, it's dark. Like, it's really dark. And so if you're going to be married to someone,
oh God, I'm not even going
to
look
at time to communicate with them and even invest enough passion in them that you're going to argue sometimes, because we don't argue with people that don't matter to us.
Correct.
It's that old thing, like never get into an argument with a real fool, because they'll just drag you down to their level and beat you up. So we only are going to invest conflict time with somebody that matters to us. But if we're going to go through all that with our person, and this is our person, we should have a physical touch aspect of that relationship. And what I think at the heart of the chapter, even though you guys said some very personal, revealing things in that chapter, at the heart of it is, we think this is an important enough part of your marriages as our readers that we want to tell you how we work through some of these challenges and issues so that maybe you can too, because it is a marriage marker. I mean, you should want to touch and kiss and so on and so on,
and
with the person that you're married to.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, the most romantic part is me imagining skin as an organ, like just spread out in like as a long kind of a map.
ADHD took over.
My big ADHD was when he said that you don't yell or get mad at someone you don't care about. And like anytime we hear Lola say, "Oh, I got in a fight," or "This stupid boy at school," and I'm like, "Oh."
By the way, she's never, like, there was this one time she said that she's not into the boys.
But when that happens,
she's into, but you know what I'm saying.
But when you hear that, parents, what does that mean?
That she has like a crush on.
Yes.
No. So here's the.
It's that simple.
No.
Yes.
No, she'd be horrified to even be like a.
I like how he's wearing his custom ADHD t-shirt right now.
ADHD is awesome.
And he's pinging everywhere. It's amazing.
I know.
It's like real-time t-shirt.
Very ADHD.
We've had a busy day today.
Well, I would say about the sexy time sharing is that if I felt like it was just a problem between us, we would have kept it between us. But I feel like it's a huge problem. There were huge issues that we were having, not huge issues, but there were issues that we were having that if by sharing what helped us helps anybody else, then.
Well, and what's interesting, and remember, I'm not Dr. Ruth, right?
No, that claims, you are not.
No claims to be a small Jewish.
Good. Yeah, you were a larger Presbyterian man.
I am. Yeah. I'm like 6 or 7 Dr. Ruth, right? So, but. If couples are having problems with their time and intimacy, that's usually the last thing they want to talk to me about.
Yeah.
And so the fact that the two of you found a creative, compassionate way to talk about that in the book, actually, I think is really good, because you know what your girlfriends talk about when their husbands aren't around. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Penn and I might have an idea of what the guys at the tennis courts, I don't play tennis, but talk about. But a lot of men don't talk to me about that stuff either.
No.
Honestly.
I don't know that men bring that up a lot.
They don't.
And I think that that's why I wanted to put it in, because I think this is a safe way of, like, see what this lady wrote, see what this lady said, and then, like, they could blame it on me. Like, can you believe that? That she asked her husband to do this? And then we are, is this going to be interesting to anybody, by the way?
The book or the podcast?
The, what we're talking about, like a chapter these people haven't read about.
Why don't you tell them what you're talking about?
We'll talk about it later.
You're the 3Ds, babe.
I know, but Christopher's sitting right here. We'll talk about it later.
It's about to be released. Like, we're promoting it, and it's going to sell a bunch of copies. Everyone's going to know about it.
I think it's, I mean, I think it's okay not to talk about it with me right now, because again, I think if people buy the book and read it, they certainly will be aware that you took some tremendous risks in that area of communication in your marriage, and you have a narrative and a story about it, which again, I think is important, because that is like when we talk about what do people fight about, it's money, sex, and power. That's one of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think it's an important chapter, and I think you guys found a really creative and supportive way to talk about it. And I would say on the Audible version, which I've listened to probably 80% now, I haven't listened to all of it. The way that you two interact when you're done reading those pages is really sweet. There's a lot of support in both your voices, which I think, again, is important for people to see. You know, we learn not only from doing things ourselves, but from watching people we trust do them. And if people can hear or read how the two of you had that conversation, it may really help a lot of people get to a part of their marriage that is underserving them.
I hope so. That's my goal, that to get all the ladies, you know, no man left behind. It's my motto.
And that's what it was. Like, let's just say it like this. So here's what happened. We had been married for a long time. We were having sex. It was fine. We weren't.
It was great.
To quote Alec Baldwin in Outside Providence, we weren't always both getting our cookies at the end of the Chinese dinner. That's what he said. He said, sex is like Chinese dinner. It's not over till you both get your cookies. And physiologically, it's
I've never heard that.
Physiologically, men, it's going to happen, right?
Yes.
Women, it's not always going to happen. I enjoy it way more when it happens to both of us. But there are limitations to which like that can happen. There's times that things stop working when things are over, and then they're over. So sometimes it happens.
My mom is going to hear this.
Sometimes
too.
It happens. Sometimes it doesn't. So we, like she said, I want to have a no child left behind policy. I immediately was like,
No man left behind.
No yeah,
man.
Sorry.
No man left
That's
behind.
That's weird. Yeah. I immediately was like, yes.
That was a little George Bushy. When president, there was no child left behind. Yeah.
So I, like, you can read about it in the book. I was like, yes. Like, I went online with her and looked up, like, sex toys. And I found the ones that, like, she's talking about that women absolutely love. There's no way that my body can do any of the things that those things do. But at first I was really scared. I was like, I've failed. And that's why people don't talk about it. Like, I have failed as a lover. And then I looked at it and I'm like, oh,
I mean,
well,
so
the only way that would work if it was me would be if I was an alien with a weird vacuum on the end of my.
So here's the thing. Like, I'm not going to make any comments about
that. I'm making everyone uncomfortable now, but you didn't want to talk about it.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
Well, actually, I'm going to try to do what we call active listening. I'm going to pick up on something you said, which is that why do people fight about money, sex, and power the most? Because those are the three things that we're most likely to feel shame about.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always, even with the person we've been married to for 25 years or 20 years or 15 years. And so that's why we don't talk about it. We're afraid of being told no if we ask for something new or different in those three departments, money, sex, or power. Or we're afraid of being ashamed because we don't make enough money or we're not capable because of our emotional state of having a healthy sexual relationship, or you've ignored me for so long, or you've put me down so much that I no longer feel empowered to tell you what I want. And that feels shameful too. And so it is a huge thing. Maybe not every couple will find the solutions that you guys did when they read the book.
Well, I have the websites for you guys
But if they at least have the conversation,
yeah,
that can't be bad.
And I'm sorry if I embarrassed you there, but it's in the book, and the book is going out in 2 weeks.
I know.
Making sure.
The one thing I'm going to just change the subject.
Okay.
One thing we really didn't talk about in the book was like when people keep having that same fight over and over again and why people keep fighting. Christopher, you mentioned it, is that sometimes people are addicted just to winning a fight.
Yeah.
And that's why they're fighting, is they want to win. And that's a power struggle, right? And that's something that's way deeper.
It's huge. And I would say for couples like that, you probably need a coach or a counselor in addition to reading a book like this one or another book on conflict management.
Right.
But one of the things that I teach my couples, and it's not unique to me, and I don't know who came up with it, but in our home, are we going to practice the concept that we is greater than me? In other words, if we keep having conflict in the same argument, if we keep having times when we butt heads, is what's most important to me as one of the people in that we to get to a place where we've both grown through it, or we've resolved it, or we can at least live with the answer? Or is what is more important to me is that the person I'm arguing with is going to know that they lost.
Right.
Like whatever
it's
happens.
Punishing.
Right.
Yeah.
They've got to know that they lost and that they were wrong. And I just don't know how that ever helps anyone be healthy. I mean, there are times in a couple where one person is really wrong. They've
right.
really gotten it wrong.
Yes.
They've really made a big mistake. And that's the time for apology, for what I'd call repentance, or some kind of, I'm going to correct this and try to make it right. I'm going to try to fix it.
Yeah.
But most of the things that couples argue about probably aren't that cut and dry. They're probably not that black and white. They're probably some shade of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, do I believe that we is greater than me? Am I trying to help us resolve this in a way that we can grow, that we can learn from this fight so we don't have to keep having it? Or am I just out to win at all costs? And if I'm one of those out to win at all costs kind of people, I probably am not going to have a healthy relationship or as healthy a relationship as I could have had until I take a step back and ask, why is winning so important to me? And I've actually asked that in marriage care with couples before. You know, Kim, it seems like winning is really important to you. Can you talk about that? And usually there's a family history, mm-hmm. there's some dysfunction there that person needs therapy over. But the question is, do I believe that we can be greater than me? Am I advancing the ball for us, or am I just trying to help myself?
Hmm. Thoughts?
No, I that's not something that, so this book, we took those 10 fights we thought most couple have, you know, I do everything, you do nothing, you know, money, sex, like all of those, we kind of dissected those, but that wasn't a real issue for us. So we didn't really tackle that, but I think it is for a good number of people.
Honestly, like I've seen the two of you get mad at each other before.
Yeah.
You know, our kids have grown up together. I've never seen anything that looked normal. Like that.
Yeah.
That didn't look like, but I'm going to stomp him into the carpet now because he deserves
it. And bring shame.
Exactly.
and like embarrass. But I've witnessed it in my life.
Sure.
And it's not, yeah, there's probably some deeper work than our cute little book can offer.
Well, almost always. I mean, because I don't know, like everyone genetically has a different, you know, competitive mm-hmm. kind of capacity. My wife is super competitive. Like it took us 10 years to learn even to play board games together.
That's so funny because she's the sweetest human being on the planet.
I could see her.
Give her
though,
a ball yeah. or a ping pong paddle. Yeah.
You guys are both collegiate athletes.
Right.
Like that's...
Give her, and she just, but so it took us a long time to learn that. But we were never competitive when we got in arguments that like, I'm so mad that you brought this up that I'm going to make you feel bad that you even did it.
Right.
And if that had occurred in our relationship, we would have gotten therapy for us right away mm-hmm. or for the person that felt that way. Because even though all people are born with a little bit of competition in them, I don't think healthy people seek to hurt others for their own enjoyment.
Yeah. And by the way, not that you can't be sweet and competitive. So I'm just,
well, you can be both.
You can be both. And she's very kind.
Yeah.
Well, Christopher, thank you.
And thank you for all the help with this book. The next time we talk to you, it will be out into the world. And everyone will know a lot more about us, more than they would like to know. Not everyone. People who buy the book will know that. And
I mean, my favorite chapter, personally,
yes.
is when you guys went from the Christmas pageant to the Snoop Dogg concert.
Yeah, that was a big fight, too.
I think in real time, I kind of knew that you were doing that, and I thought it was a bold choice at the time. And then the night did not turn out like you were planning that night, Penn. Let me put it that way.
That's why you should not go from a Christmas pageant to Snoop Dogg. Let that be a lesson to
Hang on. You should always go from a Christmas pageant to Snoop Dogg. Are you kidding? Your life needs balance.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening to our rambling and our constant promotion of this book. But this I swear, like, we won't talk about it forever.
I think this is one of our last ones, and we're going to get on with our lives, but...
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you've ever written a book, you know that you have to talk about the book.
I know. Well, thank you for being here and for listening and supporting us in our crazy little dream to bring this into the universe. So until next time, bye.